All right, what is going on, everybody? How's everybody doing? It is America Unplugged right here on Rockfin and anywhere else you can find the finest of podcasts, AmericaUnplugged.com. Make sure you go over there and check that out. Give us a five-star rating. Do what you do. So happy to have you here on this Saturday morning out of New York City, ladies and gentlemen. And of course, I have the usual suspects with me and a very special guest that we will get to in just a second. Mr. Tony Atterburn, the wisest of all the wolves. Say what's up to the people.
Great to be here, Billy. Today, I think in honor of the tyranny that's going on to our neighbors in the north, I'd like to call this Canada Unplugged as well. And I was watching those goons come and arrest the protesters, and I'm thinking, you got all your full battle rattle. You're coming out to arrest your fellow Canadians. It's either one of two possibilities. Either you're a robot-like sociopath who has no feelings, or you realize that you work for a metrosexual son of Fidel Castro who wears blackface, and you cry yourself to sleep. I think there's probably two possibilities going on for the crackdown.
Well, it's crazy what's going on up there, but it's good for the soul to see that people are willing to stand up and do what they're doing up there. What's up, Canada? One of my favorite places to visit. I love Toronto. It's so, so awesome. Anyway, Mr. Don Jeffries, the legendary. How are you, sir? Welcome back to your show, America Unplugged, sir.
Well, I'm fine. I'm in the midst of all this tyranny. And again, I think all our eyes are on Canada because right now they're fighting for everyone. And if they can win, I'm not an optimist, but if they can win, they're kind of like the people are kind of like the Washington Generals, the old Harlem Globetrotters, right? We never win. I think the last victory we had, maybe Lexington and Concord. But let's hope that they can win, because if they can strike a blow against this tyranny, maybe you'll start to see a domino effect everywhere else, starting in this country.
You're certainly starting to see a domino effect, and I want to talk about it. Because in so many different places, things seem to be changing. They seem to be coming down. It's cautiously optimistic. I'm being cautiously optimistic about it, but I'm seeing things change. But anyway, we have a very special guest with us this week, Dr. Peterson Pierre. How are you, sir? Welcome to America Unplugged. The stage is yours, sir. What's up?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I'm originally from New York City, California transplant, so I can definitely appreciate the tyranny that's happening back in my hometown.
Right, man. Whereabouts are you?
A whole lot better in that regard.
Right. Where in New York are you? Where are you from?
Queens, Jamaica.
Queens. I know it well. I know.
My wife is from Jamaica, Queens too.
Okay.
And now you're in California, you said.
I'm in California, and I'm not doing a whole lot better other than the weather.
Right, man. Right. What does it look like out there to you? What's the tyranny like out there in California?
It's pretty bad. The governor and the health officials are making decisions that are not backed by any sort of science. As a matter of fact, it goes against the science. And people just continue to follow in lockstep. And I think, and I look at what's going on in Canada and all over the world, the formula to stop this tyranny is fairly simple. It's not easy, but it's fairly simple. What you need is unity against the tyrannical government. So in Canada, for instance, you've got the truckers who sort of started a movement and have galvanized the people against what's happening. All you need are those police officers in their riot gear to realize that they're enforcing the wrong side of the law and simply join the truckers along with all the other citizens who support them. Because what is Mr. Trudeau going to do when that happens? He'll be completely powerless. And you can just overthrow that government and start afresh. But as long as there's division, and this is what every government has done, division, vax versus unvax, left versus right, red versus blue, as long as you maintain that division, then you can conquer very easily. Every good general knows that.
That sounds about right to me, sir. Everything you just said there is probably the reason we started this show. one of the main reasons that, you know, to just shed some light on this left right nonsense that's going on and try to come together, right? If they keep us apart, it's going to be next to impossible to change things. Tony, throwing it to you, what do you got?
Well, I think what the doctor's absolutely right. I mean, what we're seeing is the attempts by governments to divide and conquer that makes it easy. They don't have to defend their positions if we're constantly fighting each other. And the hope is, looking around the world, people are starting to see that you can't vote your way out of these issues. The more voting is not leading to more freedom. That is a sad fact that we're looking at Canada. Canada, unlike the United States, Canada does not have a left-right paradigm. They have a parliamentary system, but there is no real controlled opposition in Canada like we have here in the United States with the Republican Party. And I think that the movement there is having such an effect across the globe. You're seeing people start to see that, hey, that these governments, they really don't like when you go somewhere, like Gerald Celente says, you can't just show up and do a protest and, you know, have a weekend. You have to go somewhere and stay. And I think this is really shown, and it's leading the way, and hopefully it's ultimately successful. I hope that it is, but you're starting to see like they're panicking. Justin Trudeau sending in, I mean, special operators to arrest these truckers and to arrest some of the people that are parked there. It's bright shining example of the fact that the myth that we have a democracies or that we have a say, we only have a say if the governments fear the people. You know, that's something that goes back to our founding fathers. Where liberty exists is where the governments fear the people. Right. And the governments around the world, especially in the Western world, don't fear the people anymore. And that's very evident. If what they are able to do in 2020 by doing a controlled demolition of the American economy and shutting down hundreds of thousands of small businesses, they don't fear the people. But I think that may change. You know, they are nervous. I mean, you look at Trudeau and he's cracking. I mean, he's his language too. Time to go home. You can tell he's just like shoveling in Xanax and just like trying to bear this. It's not fun. He's calling, you know, Daddy Klaus Schwab, asking him what's the next direction. What should I do? The people around the world should realize that your leaders are puppets. These are bought and paid for actors. By the World Economic Forum and of course the multinational corporations and the banking houses. We can take control by unifying and helping each other, especially starting at the local level. And of course, this show is dedicated to exposing and shining light on the false left-right paradigm. Glad to be a part of it.
Right, right. Do you have any questions for the doc, sir?
I would love to know, right off the top of my head, how do you feel that is the climate for being a medical professional? Do you feel like there is more of your colleagues starting to understand that the narrative from the top down is not about health and not about the patient and not about getting rid of a disease or the virus? It's all about control. Are they starting to see that with, you know, the more you vax, the higher the cases? And of course, not being able to write a prescription for ivermectin, which is, you know, something that a doctor should be able to do at their discretion.
Well, this is something I actually was not prepared for when it happened in March of 2020. Because here you have a situation where you have a pandemic, which is basically an infection. And the specialists, when it comes to infections, are medical doctors. So it was very clear to me from the beginning that as they led with fear, I realized I had seen this movie before back in the 30s in Germany, and it didn't end up well. So it was very clear to me, based on my training in immunology, microbiology, that a lot of what they were saying were simply lies. So then I would talk to my colleagues, assuming that they had that same vision, and was shocked and dismayed to find that the vast majority of them had bought into the lie. I couldn't really understand why, because it seemed fairly simple intellectually after being trained as a doctor what the right thing would be to do. And I felt isolated and lonely and dejected because I couldn't find anybody else who felt the way that I did. And of course, Google and all the other platforms have done such a great job at censoring that it made it even more difficult to find other like-minded individuals. But after a few months, I was able to connect with people. And what I've come to realize is the medical profession in general, and I've known this for a while, doctors are, they lack courage. They're weak. They will do whatever they're asked to do to not rock the boat. And as I dug deeper into this, I realized there were threats to their jobs, their livelihoods, even threatening to lose their license if they did not spread the misinformation. I've received several emails from the AMA telling me verbatim what I should tell my patients when they ask me about COVID, when they ask me about the vaccine. People are being threatened if they dare to prescribe ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, they will lose their licenses. And then the flip side, when fear doesn't work, there are a group of doctors who are actually being paid to continue to reinforce the narrative, whether it's hospitals that are being compensated for this COVID nightmare. I mean, it's top to bottom, left to right, they've had all their bases covered. But at the end of the day, you need to be able to look at your reflection in the mirror and realize that what you're doing is wrong. And simply because you've been doing it up to now does not mean you cannot change course and start doing what's right. Your patients are suffering,
right,
because of the trust that they have misplaced in you, thinking that whatever decision you make is going to be in their best interest, when in fact you're operating in your own best interest. And that, right, to me is a crime.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Don Jeffries, I'm throwing it to you.
Well, certainly I agree with everything Dr. Right. Pierre had said so eloquently. But, you know, it's we're looking at a situation, again, I think that goes beyond our world of why this was ever started and what the end game is. I don't know. But it's gotten to the point now where, especially with people you see that are average people that have bought into everything, that terrified and still double masking and social distancing and all the other stuff that's incredibly unscientific, but they're buying it. And we've gone past that point because the division, we talked, Dr. Pierre talked about the division, but there's obviously a huge division between those who are buying this narrative and those who are questioning it, like us. And those who are buying it, we've been demonized. Those who are questioned have been thoroughly demonized as conspiracy theorists or whatever, Nazis, whatever they want to call us, insurrectionists, you know, they have various names. But so I don't think the other side, the average people, my family, probably your families and everything, they're never going to admit that we were right. They have too much vested in this. So they're never going to admit that anybody is being negatively impacted or dying from vaccines. They're never going to admit that remdesivir is a poison. They're never going to admit that ivermectin could possibly help people. They're never going to admit that wild overreaction with masks and especially lockdowns that have devastated the economy. They have so much vested in this that they're never going to admit it. So that's why I think Canada is so important to look at, because they're already firing a shot heard around the world. But if they can stand tough, and it's getting tougher for them when you start freezing people's bank accounts like they're doing, that's serious stuff, because they have more courage than I would have, because, you know, if you have a family and they've frozen your means of, you know, providing food to your family, I don't know what you do. Maybe, I guess they're freezing it. How do you make mortgage payments or rent? I don't know how that works, but obviously they're really in this for keeps. They have a lot to protect. They need to protect this narrative, and they're losing the optics when you do what they did to that 80-some-year-old man, when the police rough him up and for honking his horn, or when you catch them on, you know, stealing gasoline cans from the truckers as they yell shame at you. And what Dr. Pierre said is important, and I'm waiting to see when you're going to see the cops. We waited in this country for the cops to say, I'm not going to do that. and almost none of them will. And I understand that, you know, they're scared because they'll be fired. But again, it's unity. You have to have, at some point, somebody has to stand up and say, no, listen, if those police walk away in any appreciable numbers, then Pierre Trudeau is lost. There's nothing he can do. And the people have finally won.
Go ahead, Doc. React to that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, there's strength in numbers. So if 1, 2, 5, 10 police officers quit, yeah, that's not going to make a big impact. But if you're looking at 50%, 60% of the police force, and remember, you don't need 100% of them, but you need a fairly large number to say enough is enough. What we are actually doing is not enforcing the law. We're operating illegally. And once they make that shift in their mind and understand that freedom isn't free. See, this is the problem. People have gotten comfortable in their bondage that they've forgotten the challenges of freedom. Freedom was never free. You have to fight for it on a daily basis because there are people out there trying to take it from you regularly. So you need to make a stand. The longer this goes, the worse it's going to get. You know, imagine if we had made a stand back in April of 2020. We wouldn't be here today. This problem would have been squashed already.
Right.
But people feel that if I just do what they tell me, if I just check the boxes, everything will go back to normal. Well, I'm sorry, world. It's been 2 years.
Right.
How much longer are you willing to go? When are you going to realize that checking the boxes has done nothing to get you your freedom back? You need to stand up and fight.
Fantastic, Doc. I dig it, man. I dig the message. I want to ask you a couple of questions about the vaccine in particular, right? I know you're probably well aware of the news that people are just dropping dead left and right in athletes. Like there was a story that came out that two high school basketball young men playing basketball, both fell and died.
Yeah.
To get like, and you know, I mean, this isn't the sort of thing that we see on the day to day. You know, now we do, but we it's not the sort of thing that we're used to seeing. At least I'm not.
Right.
You know, and I can't help but think about the correlations that this might have to the vaccine. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm just a guy, right? And I'm just trying to think about these things. And I'm not asking for a concrete answer, sir. But what's your thoughts on this? Do you think this latest rash of people just falling and fainting and having, like, how many kids are having heart attacks now? And they're trying to normalize this, Doc. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if how familiar you are with what's going on. I'm sure you're very familiar, but they're trying to normalize this as if it happened all the time. Oh yeah, kids have heart attacks. Yeah, this is normal. This wasn't normal to me. But now they're trying to normalize it in the mainstream. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think this is somehow connected to the vaccine?
Absolutely. I mean, if you let's think about it and let's go back through history.
Right.
Have kids ever been subject to heart attacks? No.
Oh,
I mean, it happens. It's extremely rare.
Right.
The main situation where you'll see athletes, young athletes, die of a heart attack is if they had a previously undiagnosed heart problem, usually cardiomyopathy, which is an enlargement of the heart muscle. I think back to, you know, Len Bias, who was drafted to play for the Celtics. I mean, there have been a number of athletes in the past who had a previously undiagnosed issue or drug-related who end up dying of a heart attack. But that's not normal. That's the exception rather than the rule, significantly less than 1%.
Right.
But now we have, you know, this, I don't remember who sent out the email, if it was the school board or the New York Department of Health, sending out emails to parents in schools about be on the lookout for heart attack in your kids. I mean, at some point as a parent, you have to start asking questions. Like 5 years ago, that wasn't a thing. Why is that a thing all of a sudden? You know, and the problem is people, I don't expect the layperson to have answers, but the fact that you're not asking questions is an indictment on you.
Right.
Your job, your duty, your responsibility is to protect your kids from everyone and anyone who's out to harm them. Now, specifically about the vaccine. So here's what we do know. The problem with the vaccine is this. You've got mRNA, which is basically a blueprint that tells your body's DNA, hey, you need to make this spike protein. So from day one, I had a problem with that. So why would I want to teach my body to make a foreign material that is toxic? That doesn't make any kind of biological sense. If you understand the way the immune system works, the immune system is designed to fight off against any invading enemy. You build up your T cells, you build up your antibodies, you attack and destroy. You don't invite in and build. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So what you end up having now is a constant production of these spike proteins, which we know are toxic to the human body. If they weren't toxic, then the infection would not do anything. Right. You have this unregulated production of these spike proteins. We know some of the short-term effects. We know there's cardiomyopathy. We know there's nerve damage. We know there's suppression of the immune system. We know there is hyperactivity of the immune system, which can make you susceptible to other things. What's going to happen in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? We don't know. Now, can I say specifically the vaccine is the cause of the heart issues? I can't say scientifically, but if we look at the temporal relationship, then we see before the shots,
right,
problem. After the shots, a huge problem. So that allows us to draw some conclusions to say that there probably is a strong correlation between the two.
Man, the doc is on fire today. Thank you so much for coming in. Hey, Tone, what do you got on what the doc had to say just now?
Well, I find it really interesting. I have a friend who's a nurse, and she's taking a leave of absence, and she's getting some flack from her friends in the medical community because she won't get a vax. She's like, they call her the unvaxxed friend, you know, and she shot back and said, there's some data you should, you know, look into on,
right,
especially child vaccination. And I told her to bring up the fact that how come I know the word myocarditis? Why should I know that word? I didn't know it 2 years ago. Never heard of it. Now I know what it is, right?
Right. Go ahead.
And so that's something that I think it's pretty evident. And, you know, the doc's absolutely right. I mean, obviously, reputations being threatened, income, livelihood being threatened by these top down, you know, like the AMA.
Right.
I know my doctor, you know, he's probably close to retirement, Vietnam vet, super good guy, you know, but he grew up in the establishment, and he asked me about articles. Like, what are you reading about this? You know, he's like, I get this information. What do you hear? So he's still curious. He's still open-minded. And I sent him some articles, you know, and especially about the Nobel laureate, you know, back in May, that was talking about the more you vax, the more variants you're going to have, because you shouldn't be vaxing, especially this type of vaccination. And the doc's absolutely right. You know, something that the public isn't aware of is that this has never been done before. These genetic code injections. If you look at the flu, like, people are always like, we just get a vaccine and it'll all go away. Well, the flu has a vaccine every year. It's called the flu shot. It's called a shot for a reason, because it's really not an inoculation, because they really never can. Because it's RNA, it mutates. And the doc knows this, and knows a lot more than I do. But, you know, they can't ever find the correct strain, maybe on purpose. I don't know. But they don't know the strain because it always mutates. And so it's not effective. It usually gives you the flu. But there's still the flu, and they have the flu shot. We've never, and with this particular virus, which has been interesting, that's where you get into the rabbit hole of, does it exist? Because do we isolate it? Is there a weakened or deadened version of it? Can we get genetically sequence it? How come we didn't do what we do with the flu, which is, you know, basically in the family of coronaviruses? Why do we not do the same thing? That is the interesting question. And of course, look at Israel. You have Israel, the most heavily vaxxed country on the planet, with the most cases, I think, per number of population. So this is something that's evident in alternative media. And the most dangerous thing, you know, it's funny, we're looking at what's happening in Canada. I'm really proud of them. For a long time, I thought, wow, they're just going to go into the darkness. And there was no pushback against this at all, and very little here, but none in Canada. And I think what our job is to expose not only disinformation, but expose people to different ideas, because ideas are what the establishment, what the tyrants fear. They don't fear votes. If they did, they would outlaw voting. They fear ideas. Once you change minds, once you show people data, once they've been exposed to something that they can't unsee, they can never look at the world the same again, whether you're talking about the world of finance and like the scam of fiat currency, or whether you're talking about the worship of the medical establishment and vaccines. And I think this is why it's so important. The doc's so much courage to come on and talk and you know, lay out. He was, look, I love the language too, doc, about have you, he's like, I can't prove this. Right. I don't have all the data. So you're admitting that. The people, whether you're talking about climate change or the medical establishment, they just say it's settled. Everything's settled until right. we say it's not, right? There's right. no, everything's, you know, there's an old joke by the Babylon Bee that all scientists have been laid off because all the science has been settled. You know, and that's the way they look at it now.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Doc, you have any reactions to what Tony just said?
And really, it's never been about public health. Let's just be honest about this. You know, this has been about control. It's been about power. It's been about money. So I don't know if you guys are aware, but Project Veritas had exposed some military documents over a month ago that showed that the U.S. government knew back in April of 2020 that ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and interferon were curative of COVID. Mm. But here's the problem. If you have a treatment for a condition, you cannot have emergency use authorization. So you have to suppress whatever wow. treatment is available in order to get the EUA for these drugs. These drugs don't work. I mean, even the government tells you, hey, you got this vaccine, but you can still get infected and you can still transmit the disease. Then what good is your drug if it can't do those two things that it's supposed to do? They tell you the booster doesn't do anything for Omicron, but we're gonna mandate it anyway.
Right.
So the people just simply need to wake up. The problem is people like to be asleep. You know, it's just like in the movie The Matrix. People choose the blue pill. The blue pill isn't forced on them. They choose it. I mean, regardless of even the lay person can understand some of what the government is doing is illegal. Even if they don't understand any of the medicine or any of the science, censorship is illegal. Freezing of accounts is illegal. I mean, at what point are you going to accept that something terribly wrong is happening and to stand up and do something about it? Because if we're waiting for the government to wake up and say, oh, you know what? We've abused you long enough. We're just going to change course here. It's not going to happen. They're just going to keep pushing further and further and further until they have complete totalitarianism in place. It's going to be we the people in the US, in Canada, in countries all over the world to rise up and say enough is enough and shut this down.
Right. I agree. I want to talk to you a little bit about isolation in a bit. But first, I'm going to throw it to Don and get him in here and see what he has to say about what's been said so far. Hold on. Give me a second. Says he's muted. Tone.
Yeah, I was looking at that. I'm trying to, I clicked to unmute him and he's still muted. Let me just 1 second, let me remove him and put him back in.
All right. He's still muted.
Still muted for some reason.
Okay. Let me work on that.
Okay.
So doc, real quick. So isolation has been an issue right here in the alternative community. There's a lot of people that think that the virus hasn't been isolated. I am under the impression that it has. Right, with all the medical papers that have been released, saying as such, I don't think that they're lying to us about this. I also think that there's a lot of smart people that you know think that it hasn't been isolated for several reasons. I think it's semantics. Personally, I could be very wrong. Doc, what are you thinking? Has it been isolated or not?
Well, so here's the thing that is very disturbing. They have effectively created an atmosphere of confusion.
Right.
So now you don't know who to believe. Unless you know someone personally who's worked on this project, someone who's trustworthy, you don't know who to believe because You go on Google or even on any alternative search engine, you're going to find information supporting both sides. So to be honest, I don't really know. But here's what I do know. In order for a test to be able to pick up the virus must have been isolated because you have to use that genetic material in order for the test to be effective.
Right.
But what I also know is that the FDA released a document a couple of weeks ago, I think, that where they admit that they never used coronavirus genetic material in designing those tests. They used the common cold and the flu for the express purpose of maximizing the number of positive test results.
Disgusting.
So what does that tell me? The tests were not based on genetic material.
Right.
Can we then draw a conclusion that the virus has never been isolated? I can't say that for sure, but I do know that's not what we're testing. And
right.
Ultimately, at the end of the day, does it even matter if it's been isolated or not? Because the tests are false, the masks don't work, and the vaccines don't work. So what are we really talking about here? And we know that complete recovery from the infection worldwide is above 99%. So we're making a worldwide lockdown, shutdown, isolation, destroying the economy, kids and adults subject to depression, anxiety, suicide through the roof, families destroyed, businesses destroyed, for something that has less than a 1% chance of killing you? That's just absurd.
Agreed 100%, Doc. I really do. Don is unmuted now. Don, give us your thoughts on what's going on. Chris Graves in the chat, what's up? I'm going to get to your questions. I'm going to ask the Doc your questions in just a sec, but I want to get Don in here. What's up, Don?
Yeah, well, certainly I want to say, first of all, that Dr. Pierre is, I've interviewed all of the leading people on this. I've interviewed Andrew Kaufman, Dr. Gunther Fulmich, Scott Jensen, Roger Hodgkinson. And you're as impressive as any of them. So I love what you're saying. I agree with everything. But, you know, I'm wondering how much of this, again, why this virus has been, from the very beginning, those of us who, I questioned this from the first day, none of it made any sense to me. Because I kept, you know, I knew what little I know about it is I know that the yearly coronavirus comes every fall, and it burns out in hot weather. That's what the science tells us happens to viruses, right? So this is the first virus that we know of that didn't burn out in the fall, and it's still here 2 years later. They call it COVID-19 because it's the 2019 strain of the coronavirus. I keep asking, what happened to COVID-20? What happened to COVID-21? And apparently, that, you know, they've been superseded by this, you know, super bug. No one's questioning it. No one's questioning how it isn't dying out. It's just going to be here forever. And now you notice they're taking a lot of times they just say COVID, because, you know, some people might question 19, you know, okay, we're 2022 now. But they developed the vaccine, as I understand it. You know, vaccines take a long time, a decade or so, I thought, to test. This one was rushed through. That's the warp speed vaccine. So people should have been suspicious about it from the very beginning. And the numbers of deaths, you know, again, of course, in the conspiracy world, people think millions, but the CDC itself tells you that very quickly, within, I don't know, the first few months, it had already created, in there, not a conspiracy theorist world, the CDC's official figures had caused more deaths than all the other vaccines combined since 1901. Now, science and the medical profession should have been instantly been alarmed by that. If they're alarmed by, you know, every little thing, every side effect or whatever, and they react to that, how come they weren't reacting to that? Why didn't they immediately take it off in the market and say, hey, you know, this to go through the procedures that every other vaccine does? And again, why even the numbers, which are very fanciful, that they're using as far as deaths and everything, even they don't add up to what we're seeing. The insurance industry, you know, had a couple last month or whatever, came out very alarmingly and said the death rate of those between 18 and 64 is up 40%. This is mind-boggling to me. And even the figures that I think are largely fake of official COVID deaths don't add up to a 40% increase. So what's what's causing that? I mean, it's inescapable that it's hospitals killing patients, and it's vaccines, and it's increased suicide. That's the only thing I could attribute it to. But nobody's responding to that, and they're just shouting people down. And I'm wondering what Dr. Pierre's response has been. I asked this to the other doctors I talked to. How have your colleagues treated you? How has the community treated you? Because you're obviously very outspoken about it. Has anybody tried to cancel you?
They try. But the thing is, if you think about it, a lot of people live in a social media world, and I don't live in that world. So you can't cancel me. I don't really care what you do about my Twitter account. I don't care what you do about my Facebook account. That all of that stuff is irrelevant to me. I'm talking to people one-on-one every single day. So you can try to cancel me, but you can never cancel the truth. The thing is, to answer your question, why the medical community hasn't been alarmed about all these facts is because it stopped being about public health a long time ago. This is not about saving people's lives, about doing what's best for them. Here we have a drug like ivermectin, cheap, safe. The bottom line is, okay, let's say it doesn't work. You have a patient who's dying. What do you have to lose by using it? I mean, they're gonna die anyway. So why not give it to them? And we have countless scenarios where patients were dying, were given ivermectin, and wow, miraculously, they recovered. But the medical community continues to say that this drug doesn't work. I mean, and they're talking about, I even had a doctor tell me, oh, it's not FDA approved. I was like, yes, it is. What are you talking about? I've been prescribing ivermectin for years. It is FDA approved. What we're doing here is an off-label use. Surely, as a doctor, you must be familiar with off-label usage. There are over 300 studies that show ivermectin works for COVID. But no one wants to talk about that. It's the horse dewormer. It goes against the medical mainstream. It goes against the narrative. Forget the narrative. These are real people who are getting sick. These are real people who are debilitated. These are real people who are dying. Forget about this narrative stuff. Our job as doctors is to save the people. The politicians, they have a different agenda. The media, they have a different agenda. But as a doctor, the Hippocratic Oath does not give you room to harm patients for your own personal gain, whether it's financial, whether it's because you're afraid of losing your job, whether it's because you're afraid of being ostracized by your colleagues. It gives you no room for that. As far as how my colleagues treat me, I was ostracized from day one, but that's okay. I'm used to being a minority, no big deal. So to me, people who harass me for the way that I speak the truth. In one way, I'm very grateful for the pandemic because it exposed the people in my life who really had no business being in my life to begin with. So I just canceled those relationships. Well, actually, I don't. I stand my ground and they canceled the relationship.
Yes.
So... I mean, you know, so I've had people, even just the other day, this very dear friend, I've known her for over 30 years, from day one, telling me I should get the vaccine, blah, blah, blah. Do you know what it does to Black men, whatever? I'm like, look, what you're telling me is you're trying to make me afraid of dying. The bottom line is this. If I die today, I go to heaven and be with my Savior. That's not a threat to me. That's something I look forward to. So I'm not going to make decisions based on fear. I'm going to make decisions based on fact. And the fact of the matter is, mRNA is not good in this scenario. The vaccine doesn't stop infection or transmission. So why would I want to put that in my body? Just so I can check a box and be part of the club?
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I understand. I understand exactly where you're coming from with, and so does Don, and so does Tony, and so many of the people listening right now or in the podcast, you know, because we talk about it often. Yeah. And what happened here, if we're gonna point out a silver lining, is that just like you said, we got to see who was real, right? Who was real and who was not, You know, we got to see who was down for, you know, like having a real relationship with you and respecting, you know, what our beliefs are and what we do and those people that are not. And just like you, I try not to cancel the relationship, but there are several relationships that have been canceled for me.
Right.
Because, right, they're like, no, you're not getting vaccinated. It's the end of the world. You can't come to our home.
Right.
You know, and that's it. You know, and I know that's happened to Don. I know it's happened to Tone. Like, just to hear you say that, I mean, to see that it's happened to you. And you're a doctor.
Yeah.
You know, so you would
apparently
think, right?
That doesn't mean anything anymore.
It does to so many, but on the other side of the spectrum.
Right.
It does to so many because, well, this is a doctor that's telling me to get vaccinated.
Right.
So what do you know? This guy's a doctor, so I'm going to listen to him and go get vaccinated. But when doctors on the other side of the argument speak their minds, they're crazy. Yeah, I don't understand the mind control that's going on here, but something serious is going on where if you were on the other side, most people would say, well, you know, this guy is telling me that I need to get this and that it's good for me. And he is an MD. So right. I'm going to listen to him.
Right.
You know, but since you're saying something else, I mean, there are a growing number of people that subscribe to your ideas and are willing to listen, but we're still a minority.
Right.
You know, compared to the vast number of people that have gone out and gotten vaccinated for one reason or another. You know, so Tone, I'm going to throw it to you. Ask the good doc something.
Well, I think that the divisions caused were on purpose. You know, as the great David Knight says, the only real science in all of this is behavioral science. We've been divided along these lines, and you go down political lines too, which is very interesting. You know, I have people in my family that have vax. I have great, good friends that are vax. The ones that I've lost are the ones that bought into the totality of it. Like if you don't have it, then mine doesn't work. And then they just latch onto that fear. You right. can't be a part of my life. Right. You're going to spread it everywhere. And they don't want to look at facts. They drank the Kool-Aid, they're in. And that's the choice that they make. I'm open to anybody. If you have a vax, that's fine. Don't have a vax, that's fine. If we right. believe in freedom of choice, then you're my friend, right? And that's
perfect.
That's the way it's going to be. That's right. just that not how that's not how our modern society works.
Right.
And so, you know, I think what the doc's doing is amazing. And the more that we can talk, the more that we can, you know, give people information that they don't have to buy into this narrative. I think, you know, the better that reality is going to be. And all of this has been about. And, you know, losing friends, seeing who you're, especially people in the media, politicians, the last couple of years has been a great unveiling. And that's really where the root of the word apocalypse comes from. It just means lifting of the veil. And you just seen institutions, people, parties that you thought were on your side and they're not.
Right.
And it's time. It's a great time for choosing. It's a great time to, I think, really explore your own spiritual strength and health and mental health and who your friends really are. If you look at it through that lens, this can be a great blessing. Unfortunately, there's so many people that have been damaged from this and mentally and lost their life. And we've got to pick up the pieces from where we are. I'm glad we have the doc here on our side. It's been a great guest here on the show.
I totally agree, Tone. You know, Doc, I didn't know what to expect. You know, when Don brought you on, but I am totally down with the good doc here. Everything you said, and what I like most, and I'll go ahead and say it on air. I was going to tell you afterwards, but since we're doing this, I may as well do it now. You haven't politicized anything here.
It's not about that.
It hasn't happened. But so many right. docs do. You know, so many docs do, and they do it on purpose. And you have not done that, so I respect the hell out of that. Go ahead, doc.
No, I mean. You know, the thing is, and that's one of the things that really infuriates me about America. It's like, why is this politicized? Human lives are not red or blue. They're not left or right. We're all human.
Wow.
This has nothing to do with what party you're in. Me personally, I couldn't care less about the parties because I understand the game. They're two sides of the same coin. Election day. You know who wins? I see people out there, rah, 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 my party won. Yeah, your party won. You lost. Every voting citizen of the United States of America loses every election day. Why is that? Because the parties are out there securing their own future.
Right.
They don't care about their constituents. How many years must you be in the system to recognize that? And then when you try to hold them accountable, they're like, oh, you know, it's because that other side, they blocked me. But if you vote for me, I will keep fighting for you. Blah, blah, blah. It's the same nonsense circulated between both parties, both genders. It doesn't change. Wake up and see the game. It's a game that's being played. And then as far as the COVID itself, you know, two things. One, people are subject to fear addiction. They're just addicted to their fear. They've become right. comfortable in it the past couple of years, and they just choose to stay in that. Right. Number two, hey, if your whole family is vaxxed and I'm not, why can't I come to your place? I mean, you're all protected, right? So what's right. the big deal? How can someone who's not vaxxed and negative spread a disease they don't
right.
have? Like, what in the world are you talking about? We're not even talking medicine now. We're talking straight logic.
Right.
How can I spread something I don't have? And even if I had it, you believe so much in your vaccine, what is the problem?
Right.
Right.
I could come to your party as much as I want. You're all protected, so you don't care. And yet, those two sides of your brain don't connect. You refuse to see the logic. I'm not even talking the science. You refuse to see the logic. And then the third thing, this whole concept about I'm getting vaxxed for your protection, that's just garbage. What right. are you talking about? That's like saying the ADT alarm system on my house is going to protect the whole neighborhood. That's just ludicrous. That's not the way vaccines work. I know that's what the government has told you, but that's not how they work. They only protect the person who's inoculated, period. There is no protection by osmosis. That doesn't exist.
Agreed, 100%. Thank you for that, Doc. Don, what do you got? What do you got? How do you react to this? Before that, actually, I want to say thank you to Camilla in the chat. Thank you so much. That was so nice of you. And Chris, I haven't forgotten about you. We're gonna get to your question. Let me get Don in here, and then we'll get to your question. What's up, Don?
Yeah, I mean, well, certainly, I found Dr. Pierre online, a speech that he was giving, and I was amazed by it. And I said, well, I got to talk to this guy, but. Even I didn't think, you know, it was going to be quite this good. That we said, because you've gone kind of beyond the minute when you're talking about the two parties and everything. So you're right. you're kindred spirit all the way here. And and again, that two-party system, we see the same kind of breakdown where you basically have two parties on this issue. You have the believers and the skeptics. And the believers, you know, all you got to do is walk out in any area. And, you know, I've been very disillusioned by it. I knew we were outnumbered before, but I didn't know we were outnumbered by quite this much. When I go out there, when you see all the people who are driving in their cars by themselves with their masks on, and you know, you want to stop them and say, just please explain what's the thinking, what's the science. But but you see too many people doing that, so they've completely lost their reason. And this is really kind of an extension of identity politics, which runs the country now, and it's all about emotion. It's not about a reason. And in this case, it's not about science, even though the ones that are so emotional are screaming, trust the science, when everything about this is about as unscientific as possible. And it's very, very sad to see what's happening. And I don't know, Americans at least have proven they apparently have no tolerance for this, because if they do, for instance, if children unfortunately keep dying of heart attacks or whatever, that becomes a real epidemic or something, and they can't really hide it. Some of these families are experiencing that kind of tragedy. I fully expect that the majority of people who are running around and screaming and wearing double masks and everything will fall for the nonsense that it's your fault. You didn't get vaccinated. I mean, I really believe that, because that's already kind of become what it is. You know, it's your fault. You're not vaccinated. If everybody just gets vaccinated, everything will go back to normal. But as the good doctor pointed out, we've never seen a vaccine in the history of the world. A history of the world where you have to keep taking it multiple times And yet the people who are giving it to you still tell you, well, you know, it doesn't stop you from getting COVID. So I'm taking a vaccine over and over again, and you're telling me it's not going to protect me from the disease I'm getting vaccinated for. And right. yet you're still, it's been noted to you, that why would you care about me or anybody else? If you're vaccinated, you're protected. But that's all gone out the window. I think that was their response. And what is the breakthrough cases? I mean, they came up with this absurd term. It's a breakthrough case when somebody's been vaccinated. What does that even mean? I mean, that's like variants. What is Omicron? What was Delta? They don't have tests where they can prove this. They're naming these things like they do intelligence operations and military operations and hurricanes. They just like to name things. They can't prove that they exist. But at any rate, I want to say thank you so much to Dr. Pierre. And you were much better than I ever expected. I hope I can get you on one of my own shows here soon, because you're providing great information.
Right, right. I agree. I think all three of us have individual shows. We're going to line up and see if when you have time to come on each of them. In the interest of time, Tone, I want to go to Chris, and I have like two more questions for him. We don't have a lot of time left. Chris says, what does the good doctor think of those empty hospital videos from the last 2 years? So your thoughts, sir?
They're probably accurate. Right. I mean, obviously I'm not there physically to be able to verify that, mm-hmm. but you have to understand that was part of the propaganda.
Agreed.
Because we don't want to overwhelm the hospitals and so on and so forth. So go be a good citizen and do what we say for the better of mankind.
Right.
But everything they told us to do was a lie. And I know some doctors personally who have told me their hospitals are not full of COVID patients. Their hospitals may have other type patients, but they're not there for COVID.
Right.
I have other people telling me, yeah, our hospitals are so light, we've had to lay off staff. Now, obviously, these are bits and pieces across the country. That doesn't necessarily tell the full picture, but it casts enough doubt over what the whole narrative and the propaganda has been pushing to say that, yes, it is possible that those hospitals were, in fact, empty.
I can tell you from a personal experience, and I was going back and forth with Don at the height of the pandemic here in New York. And I live not too far from a hospital here in the Bronx. And I'd go for jogs. And when I would go for jogs and pass by, it was like The Walking Dead. Yeah. Nothing. But take your ass to Queens, right? And go see this one hospital in Queens. It was overflowing. And I know people that work there. So what the media did was highlight that.
Of course.
And they didn't touch anything else. So it set a false perception in mm-hmm. the minds of the people. Furthering the distrust, right? And I think that was done by design. Tone, you got anything?
No, just wanted to thank the doctor for coming on. It's been a great show. Really enjoyed his message. And to all the people who tune into America Unplugged, thank you so much. And we have international listeners, as you know, Billy. We look at the podcast.
Right.
And I just want to say, I quote the writer Victor Hugo, the one thing more powerful than all the armies on the earth is the idea whose time has come. Just keep fighting. We're winning this in the long run. We've got to stick together. And you're seeing this. The narrative is collapsing. This tyranny, it can collapse if we stand together.
Agreed 100%. So many more questions, Doc, that we had for you. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get to them today. But thank you so much for taking the time to Absolutely. Come on America Unplugged with us. It's certainly been a pleasure. You did an excellent job. Fantastic. Tell the people where they can find you.
Well, you can go to pierreskincare.com. That's probably the easiest way to get to me. I typically will answer any email or contact that I get, whether it's positive or negative. But I want to leave people with this one thought by Edmund Burke, and I'm going to paraphrase it. The only thing that's required for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. And that's what we've noticed over the past 2 years. Not enough good men are standing up and fighting back. And that's really why we are where we are today.
Right.
So the
right.
more people who are willing to stand, the strength to stand alone is the strength to make a stand.
Right.
It's time to make a stand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So everybody in the chat, what's up? Camilla, thank you. Kloby, thank you. Gammy, what's going on? Listen, we're getting up out of here. Doc, thank you again. We really appreciate you. We'll be in touch. Please don't hang up. Tony Atterburn and Don Jeffries. My name is Billy Ray Valentine. Do not burn the place down while we're gone. We will see you next week, Lord willing. Take it easy now. We're signing off. America Unplugged. Bye-bye.